Wartime Delivery by Leslie Ann Gittings. It was the 25th of September 1940, and Britain was at war. The weather was fine and sunny. Ellen had been up since dawn. She was a member of the all-women team that manned the barrage balloons in Filton. Earlier that morning, the familiar sound of the air raid siren had got her out of bed. She had hurriedly pulled on a pair of slacks and jumper and made her way from her home in Warren Road to the volunteer training base at Conyngham House. The hydrogen levels had to be checked every morning. Then, depending on the data supplied by HQ, the team winched up their precious silver barrage to a specific height. It was a pretty tough job, but Ellen liked to be involved in a practical way. It made her feel nearer to her husband, Alfie, who was away training with the RAF in Scotland. She did miss him so. They'd only been married for 6 months when he got called up. In one way, she was proud he was a pilot, but she feared for him too. Every time she hoisted the cables, she said a silent prayer that her Alfie would never get entangled in one of these in Germany. As she walked back home, she saw her dad coming out of the gate, and she ran up towards him.
Hey, my wee darling. Everything gone all right?
Yes, fine. You're off early.
Aye, well, we're expecting some special deliveries this morning. You know, hush-hush stuff. Thought I'd better check things over.
I'll be up with the dinner about 11 as usual, then.
Aye, grand.
She watched him go up the road towards the factory. When he got to Lower House Farm, he turned and gave that special little wave he saved just for her. Ever since Ellen's mum had died of cancer 2 years ago, they had developed a very special bond. Gordon had a big heart. It burst with pride when his daughter had married her childhood sweetheart, Alfie. He even agreed to convert the upstairs of their semi-detached house into a little apartment for them.
All newlyweds ought to have time to themselves,
he used to say. Ellen looked at her watch. She'd just got time to get change, drop into Maureen's and be in work by 9. The day was turning out to be one of those great autumn gems. It wasn't too hot or too cold, made even more perfect with a light breeze to keep everything fresh. As she walked up the street, the church clock struck 9. A couple of children rushed past, hurrying to school, and the shops were opening their shutters, ready for business. Wearing her work overalls, she arrived at Bellevue House. This was the family home of the Shields, who ran the large laundry in the heart of Filton. She'd always envied them their lovely white porch that stood so handsomely at the front of the house. She climbed the steep steps and rang the front doorbell. Maureen was expecting her. "Have you got it?" Maureen asked anxiously. "Of course," said Ellen, taking a folded newspaper from her pocket. Its headline read, "The Way to a Man's Heart," and underneath it had Margaret Patton's recipe for rabbit dumplings. "It worked for me," said Ellen. "Alfie was putty in my hands after a mouthful of this." Maureen laughed. "Well, Tony doesn't stand a chance, then. I've got it all planned for tonight." Mum's even said I could borrow her red dress and her eyebrow pencil. You know, for the stocking line. Ellen smiled at her friend, seeing her eyes bright and happy with the prospect of a romantic evening with her fella. She kind of wished that Alfie had got leave too, but no such luck. He was still hidden away in the hills of Scotland, learning about navigation and war tactics. As Maureen chatted on about her plans for the evening, Ellen gently placed her fingers on her tummy and rubbed it. She knew something that no one else did. She was carrying Alfie's baby, and she reckoned she was 4 months gone. No one knew yet, not even Dad, as she wanted Alfie to be the first to know. She wanted to tell him in person, not in a letter. This morning she'd felt movement inside her. Anxiety twinge, maybe? But that soft nudge, deep down, made her aware of the miracle of life and sent her spirit soaring. She wasn't sure how much longer she could conceal it, though, and to be honest, the extra rations would come in handy. She had a real craving for sugar these days. I've even got some chocolate for afters, warbled Maureen. It's taken me weeks to save the coupons, but it's all going to be worth it. With a thought of chocolate swirling around her head, Ellen made her excuses and left Maureen to her reveries. On the pavement, she came back to reality with a bang as the grinding sound of a large, articulated army vehicle strained its way up the hill towards the church. She thought there must be still ingots inside for all the noise it was making. The pavement beneath her feet shuddered as the truck hammered past. Crossing the road, she saw her boss, Martin, waiting outside the shop. The delivery van with the words Turner's Bakery, Best in the West, written on it, was parked alongside. Martin was a master baker. He slaved away through the night, and come midday he was, often as not, catching up on his beauty sleep. Ellen worked on deliveries between 9 and 11 o'clock and then manned the shop until about tea time.
Hi. Lovely day, isn't it, Ellen? I just got one more tray to put on board and then you can get started.
He turned and went back inside the shop, along the passageway to the bakehouse. Ellen followed. She took one of the freshly baked cob rolls from the shelf and put a generous spread of meat dripping in the middle of it. Adding a large dollop of piccalilli and some salt and pepper, she wrapped it in a bit of greaseproof. Dad liked it like that. She picked up the list of deliveries. One of her first drops was the very grand Filton House, headquarters of BAC, the Bristol Aeroplane Company. It was for 12 fancy cakes. She wondered how they'd been able to get around the sugar rationing to order these delights. Martin returned with the last tray.
You be careful with these, Ellen. They used up most of the sugar, so I don't want them spoilt.
She drove the short distance to her first port of call, the Shields Laundry. Ellen always loved the fresh, clean smell coming from the buildings. Steam poured out of the vents and rose up into the sky. The women started work really early, before 5 a.m. most days. It was physically demanding, so they were really pleased when the bakery van arrived. Next call was Filton House. The ornate iron gates were kept open during the day, manned by a security guard, who waved Ellen through with a smile. She drove up the circular drive to the main door, which was hidden from the road by a large blue spruce pine tree. A young girl in a smart grey suit signed for the fancy cakes, which were whisked away out of sight. She would have liked to keep one for Dad, but she'd got him the best sandwich in the world instead. She turned left out of the driveway down the hill towards the airfield. She went on past the Plough Inn and the manufacturing sheds. She could see the airfield buildings down below, and to her amazement, some men were sunning themselves on the rooftops. It was all so peaceful and happy in the sunshine. She hummed a little song called We'll Meet Again that she'd heard on the radio last night. She didn't quite have the voice of Vera Lynn, but who cares? It made her feel good, and it made her think of Alfie. She pulled up outside the work buildings. There were lots of hungry workers this morning, so she didn't notice her dad making his way towards her.
How's my best girl?
Just fine, Dad, handing him the cob roll. Here you are, made it myself.
Thanks, lass. These new deliveries mean I'll be working late tonight, so don't wait up.
As she got to the top of Filton Hill, the drone was really loud. People had come out onto the streets and were looking up at the planes that had appeared out of nowhere. They were everywhere, not just one or two, but 10, 20, 30, more than this. The planes completely obliterated the sun. Ellen thought that they must be our boys. She even daydreamed that one of them might be Alfie, who would at any moment do a whirly overhead and write her name in a vapour trail across the sky. Looking out through the van window, however, she noticed how low they really were. She could almost see into the cockpits. Strange. She didn't recognise the uniform. Something was wrong. Then the bombs started to fall. Ellen couldn't believe her ears or her eyes. These were not our boys at all. They were the enemy, and they were here, now, in Filton, in the middle of the day. They were trying to destroy her world. The noise was deafening, pieces of shrapnel and stones spewed into the air. Craters of dust filled the sky. She had to put on the wipers to try and see through the fog. She shifted the gear into first and crawled up the rest of the hill. Suddenly, in front of her, there was a gushing fountain of water. The main supply pipe had taken a direct hit. And the bombs kept on coming. She heard bursts of machine gun fire and the distinctive crump of exploding AA shells as the city guns opened fire. She knew she had to get out of the van and find safety in a shelter. The sound of machine gun fire was getting closer. It came cascading down the pavement. She knew the van could be a target. So taking a deep breath, she opened the door. As soon as she stepped out onto the road, Ellen knew she was in danger. One of the planes was coming directly towards her, firing randomly on the street below. Out of nowhere, Martin lunged towards her, pushing her out of the way of the bullets in towards the shop. When she recovered, she saw him lying on the curb outside, and there was blood coming from his shoulder. She rushed out to him. He was still conscious, but his wound needed immediate attention. She had to get him over to the parish church, where a first aid post had been set up. As they made their way down the hill, the all clear sounded, and a kind of calm descended. The acrid smoke from the bombs filled the air. No one was saying very much. Ellen looked around. How could such a beautiful day be so quickly transformed into one of carnage and devastation? Suddenly, a chill shiver ran down Ellen's back and she started to panic. Where was Dad? He should have been here by now. He knew the drill. They'd made a pact. They would always find each other after a raid just to make sure they were both okay. They'd had many raids before and he always made it to the shelter. He'd be here in a minute. So she turned to help a little old lady who'd hurt her foot. Ellen saw Maureen across the pews. She was holding a piece of paper. She knew from Maureen's face that something terrible had happened. Standing up quietly, she moved towards her friend. Maureen reached out to take her hand. I'm so sorry, Ellen. It's Dad, isn't it? Yeah. The whole shelter collapsed. No one got out. Ellen felt her legs give way and her head started to swim. Maureen caught her and they sat down together. People were lighting candles in the church. It was getting dark. Someone started to sing a psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," quietly in the darkness, and the reality of the day became evident.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want.
Ellen let the tears trickle down her face as the music released the emotion she felt inside. Her world had been shattered and would never be the same again. Suddenly she felt something. Yes, it definitely was a kick this time. It was a reminder that she had to stay strong, stay safe. She was carrying the next generation, the grandchild her father would have loved with all his heart.